6, if you turn there, it's not usually this long that it takes for me to introduce and develop our theme for the year. But as you're turning to Matthew 6, let me give you an illustration that was written in the King's Business. There was a shipwreck on our coast some time ago. A ship struck upon a sunken rock, and the lifeboat put out to rescue the crew. The lifeboat drew near the sinking ship, and all got in safely except the captain and the first mate. "Get aboard," said the captain to the mate. "Wait a minute, captain." And he dived down the companion ladder to fetch something from the cabin. The captain saw the folly of the act and jumped into the lifeboat, hoping that the mate would soon follow. To stay beside the sinking ship was dangerous, and the coxswain drew off to wait for the mate to appear. Alas, before he could do so, a great wave struck the vessel. She rolled over and sank, and the unfortunate man, cooped up in the cabin, was drowned. A few days after, divers went out to see what could be done with the vessel, and they found the corpse of the mate in the cabin. In his hand was something tightly grasped. They brought him on deck and unclasped his clenched fist. His purse fell out. They opened it. It contained 36 cents. Had that man lost his life for 36 cents. Matthew chapter 6. I'll begin in verse 19. I'll end in verse 24. And then I'll pray. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." The title of my message tonight is Unfaithful Through Covetousness, Part 1. Unfaithful through covetousness, part one. Let's pray. Lord, according to this passage of scripture, our treasures are our true heart locators. We've spent a number of years laying a biblical foundation for our church family. And this might be one of the most significant years of our church's history. Because we might be in a place physically, but who knows where our hearts are? We might say the right things. We might do the right things. We might appear on the outside to have it all together. And yet the Bible clearly says that there are at least one or two ways we can figure out what's going on in a person's heart. One by their fruit, and two by the location of their treasures. How we pray that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, be with those that couldn't be with us tonight, for those that are recovering. We pray in a special way. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. So, I'd like to look at, in part one, unfaithful through covetousness. And when we're done with that, we'll look at unfaithfulness through cares. So as we look at unfaithful through covetousness, basically there's three different sections that Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 24 covers. It covers three things. It covers the choice between two treasures. It talks about the choice between two visions. And it talks about the choice between two masters. Tonight I'm going to focus on just one. The choice between two treasures. So let's look at unfaithful through covetousness. The choice between two treasures. Verse 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. So that lets us know where one treasure is. What happens to that treasure upon earth? Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. There's the second location of our treasures. So you have treasures on earth and treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now that would be great advice if that's all that was there. But there's more. For where your treasure is, whether it's an earthly treasure or a heavenly treasure, there will your heart be also. So let's, instead of looking at the locations, let's look at the dangers first. What are the dangers in this particular passage of Scripture? First, we have moths. That's a hard word to say, isn't it? Moths. Moths are horrible for fur and wool items. They love to eat through the garments, creating holes or worn areas. This is detrimental to your pieces because it is possible moth-eaten items can't be repaired. That's from a furrier online to let you know that if you have furs, moths are not your friends. The moth. We all know that when moths get into our clothes, they eat holes right through them. The moth is a tiny little butterfly-looking animal that doesn't appear harmful at all, but it will destroy the most expensive, elaborate fabric you can ever own. Moths are considered dangerous to humans and also for pets because they contaminate food and certain types of pet food, such as dry pellets, with their feces and their white cocoons left from the caterpillar. Contact with food and textiles that has been infested by the moths can lead to allergic reactions and mucosal irritations for humans and pets. Consuming the moth-infested food can also lead to intestinal disease. In websites that talk about trying to get rid of these nasty little critters, the main reason why the moth are dangerous is that they can spread very quickly. Additionally, moths can invade nearly every place. The preferred places of these pests are cracks, crevices, and holes in furniture, walls, and ceilings, but also any other place which is difficult to access. That is how, for instance, any moth species manage to get through, example, screw threads. In this way, they can also hide in the tiny space left over in drill holes that are not completely filled. Even food that is vacuum-packed in plastic is not safe from the aggressive pests because moths can bite their way through thin plastic foils. Two, once a single food product in a cupboard has been infested, the moths will spread very fast through the cupboard and from there into whole rooms and eventually the whole house. Even the front door is not an invisible obstacle for these tough insects, despite the short lifespan of a full-grown moth of only 2 weeks, as they can cover a distance of a few hundred meters in this time. From an infested dwelling pantry, flour, clothes, moths can spread in a racing speed and eventually infest complete blocks or flats and streets of houses. Sounds like the plague, doesn't it? You probably never knew all this about moths. Me neither. What begins with just one infested grocery can, grocery can become a proper plague. Obviously, they can't get into cans. The essential thing when it comes to combating moths is therefore to proceed consequently and thoroughly, because only if all larvae have been eliminated, you can prevent that a moth population can regenerate itself in a short time and infest the household again. We're talking about dangers found in Matthew chapter 6, especially on treasures upon earth, where moths and, what's the next danger? Rust. Welcome to Western New York. Rust. We would rather buy, if we were getting a used vehicle, a vehicle from the South where rust is not prominent, where rust doesn't take over the life of a vehicle. Salt, obviously, as you know, destroys vehicles, and like moths, they do a number on what we would call property and riches. The dangers of rust. From this particular web article, many metals are allowed to sit out in the sun unprotected from the elements. Some of the metals allowed to sit in the weather are ferrous metals, which means that they can and do undergo the process of oxidation. Oxidation, or rusting, if you remember from your chemistry class, is the process by which a chemical reaction occurs between the metal and the elements, resulting in the orange-brown, depending upon the metal, coloring on the surface. Rust occurs naturally on unprotected steel, or when the protective coating on steel becomes compromised due to damage, etc. Rust then forms as a consequence of moisture and oxygen acting together, attacking the metal surface. Some people are under the misconception that rust is nothing but a different color on the surface of the metal object. This is completely untrue. Not only does rust destroy clothes, but it is actually a process that eats away at metal, weakening it. For many things, this is not a problem because the metal object is not expected to hold any weight. However, for load-bearing items, on the other hand, this can be extremely dangerous, like bridges. Now, if you're in a Fred Flintstone vehicle, that's different. Your feet might fall through the floorboard, and you can pedal your way, you know. But if you're on a bridge and it gives out, when the metal is eaten by oxidation, it is weakened and unable to support as much weight. For items like bolts that hold chairs or decks together, this can be extremely dangerous, as it can allow the item to collapse, injuring anyone on the deck or in the chair. Another huge problem with rust, as you all probably already know, is known to encourage the growth of a specific bacteria that causes tetanus. Tetanus, or lockjaw, in untreated cases, that's why we get tetanus shots, can result in death and is not pleasant in any situation, to say the least. The bacteria move from the rust to the bloodstream when the nail or the chair or the rusty object breaks the skin. As an ICU nurse at Strong Memorial Hospital, I'll never forget the farmer that was air flighted to Strong Memorial from Ithaca with lockjaw, and to watch him die because there was nothing they could do. It was too late. Matthew 6 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. So we're talking about two types of treasures, earthly treasures and heavenly treasures. And we're talking about dangers regarding those earthly treasures. So we have moth dangers, rust dangers, and the trifecta is now thieves. Thieves. With money and riches comes great fear of someone taking them. For mankind does all in his power to protect what he has. He puts up walls around his house so no one can get in. He has security guards guarding them at all times and hidden safes for his rare jewels. What does the thief do? He breaks in and takes what the wealthy man has, and he will do anything to get it. So to prevent thieves, we store things. Some put them in a safe, a vault, a bank, and the list goes on. Some hire guards, or they install things to guard their riches, meaning walls, fences, gates, buildings, police, armored vehicles, etc., 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 because treasures upon earth are stealable, right? As well, these people that have treasures upon earth will document what they have. The rich make meticulous records of what they have, where these things are located, when the last time they were visibly inventoried, etc., etc., etc. So if you had jewels in your home, stored in, of course, a very safe place, like the room that nobody's in, and you store all your family jewels in a mattress, or you store all your money in wall, you could read all that stuff online forever, where people have found unexpected riches. And that's the script of fairy tales, right? The treasure chest. Even Jesus talked about a treasure, that a man would sell his entire, everything he owned, to buy the field where that treasure was located. So I decided as a lark to type in on the internet the world's most famous thieves. I didn't print it because it would take way too long. The world's most famous thieves. Fascinating. Interesting. International, for sure, because there's more to the world than the U.S. And there's more to history than U.S. history. So there have been thieves long before there was America. Some of the most infamous people in world history were not here. And the reason why I didn't bring those, because I can't pronounce their names. And two, most of us have no idea what I'd be talking about anyway. But the Ponzi scheme would be interesting. Bonnie and Clyde, if I remember correctly, were on that list. And others. Of course, there are contemporary people. Who is the guy who did the... I don't know, $50 billion worth of theft. Madoff did the Ponzi scheme. And that was within the last 20 years, perhaps. So there are some people that are famous or infamous for being thieves. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. The context is Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking about many things from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7 at the end. And if you look at these particular items that he talks about through these three chapters, he lays out some important principles, all of which deal with the condition of our heart. So he's talking about here the possibility that we could be unfaithful to God in our treasures because of covetousness. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Now, if there was a period there, okay, God has said it. We should believe it. We should obey it, period. He goes on, where moth and rust corrupts those treasures upon earth. And if that's not bad enough, thieves will actively break through and potentially steal what you think you have laid up for your entire life. This guy Madoff is the guy who basically stole people's life savings. He did an interview apparently a year after he was in prison. And he talked about how he didn't justify his sin, but he essentially said, I watched my father go through bankruptcy. And I made a vow to myself that that would never happen to me in my lifetime. Did that justify what he did? No. But lay up for yourselves. Here's the alternative. So if we spend our lives pouring our lives, our time, our resources into treasures upon earth, obviously there's no guarantee that we're going to be able to keep them, hold on to them, protect them like perhaps we think we should. But if we lay up treasures in heaven, where those treasures will not be in any way, shape, or form touched by moth or rust, where thieves cannot and will not break through nor steal. Then it concludes this particular spot by saying, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we looked at the three dangers. Let's look briefly at the two treasures. Treasures upon earth. I thought about this for a few minutes. It didn't take long, but I thought, okay, what are our material treasures? If I thought of the word land or property, we might think of residential property, commercial property, private property, corporate property, vacation property, etc. That would be a treasure. Real estate usually has to do with houses, buildings, rentals, apartments, condominiums, etc., etc., etc. If we talk about material treasures as being capital, cash, bonds, securities, foreign currencies, gold, silver, precious metals, capital, things that we can pay with, things that we can barter with. Then I thought of jewels, personal diamonds, watches, rings, necklaces, pearls, gold jewelry, silver jewelry, et cetera, et cetera. And that's just personal stuff. What about jewelry in regards to dynasties or kingdoms or nations? Like the crown jewels. Next, I thought of investments. Of course, I have none, but like stocks or business ventures or partnerships, etc. We can also look at material treasures as being toys, cars, boats, RVs, trailers, snowmobiles, collector vehicles, etc., etc., etc. Material treasures. Then I thought of antiques. I didn't want to ignore that part of our lives where people invest a lot of time, money, and energy and resources. Furniture, china, rugs, etc., etc., etc. You also have art, whether it be famous paintings, sculptures, etc. Treasures upon earth. Turn with me to Job chapter 31. We'll look at a few passages on this. Treasures upon earth. We'll compare treasures in heaven, and then we'll make a few applications and we'll be done. Treasures upon earth. Job 31. Look with me at verse 24 and 25. If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence. If I rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because mine hand hath gotten much. Now, this is a great passage of scripture. I don't mean to pluck something out of context, which I've just done. But this would be one way of looking at material treasures. Psalm 39. Psalm 39. Psalm 39, verse 6. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. James chapter 5, if you turn there. James chapter 5. I'm trying to go in a sequence here, and you're going to say, why didn't you make me go to Proverbs? I want you to go to James first, and then go back to Proverbs. James chapter 5. Again, this is a biblical definition of treasures upon earth. Then we'll look at what do we do with treasures upon earth as being a problem. James 5, verse 1. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, rusted, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Now, it seems to me, if you were to look at that last sentence, ye have heaped treasure together for the last days, you are not only a hoarder, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't prepare our families for an emergency, but we can go overboard on this, right? We can have bunkers and we can have food. And there's all kind of websites for you to go on when, you know, everything falls down in America and you got to get out your weapons and you're going to go after the... There's some terrible scenarios that are out there that might all happen. But the Bible says ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Proverbs 16, if you turn there. We need to put this in context because the Lord is telling us in Matthew 6, be careful not to lay up treasures upon earth. Proverbs 16:16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver? Meaning, wisdom is far more important and significant than gold is, and understanding is far more significant than silver. Proverbs 23, verse 5. Proverbs 23, verse 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. This is not the moment for this message or this comment. However, just read what happens to people that win the lottery, that get unexpected riches, that do not have the character to take in any way, shape, or form, deal with those kind of resources. It destroys them. Destroys them. Ecclesiastes 5. Ecclesiastes 5. And we might, throughout the year, look at these passages of Scripture in much more detail. Ecclesiastes 5:10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. Nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Meaning, there have been many studies. I think 1,000 millionaires were interviewed and said, how much would it take you to be satisfied? And every single person said more. 1 million wasn't enough. They needed more. So the addiction to more is biblical. It's natural. It's human. It's something that we are wired with. Verse 11. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. The bigger your barn, the more bugs you have eating it. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? Verse 12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep, because he's worrying about all this stuff. Is all my stuff guarded? Is all my stuff safe? Etc. Verse 13. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. Instead of giving, they're keeping. Instead of distributing, they're hoarding. And it destroys them, verse 14. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. So poor management, etc. There's no way to pass on a heritage in any way, shape, or form. Don't turn there, but I'm going to read Luke 12, 21. Luke 12, 21 says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So we will obviously look at that passage of Scripture in the future, but I would like to look at treasures in heaven now. So we've looked at treasures upon earth. Let's look upon treasures in heaven. As a believer in Christ, you should know that the Bible talks about crowns. The crowns of a Christian. And those crowns are something that will be presented to us in heaven. Those will be treasures in heaven. We will look at these crowns in detail. There's what's called an incorruptible crown, found in 1 Corinthians 9. There's a crown of rejoicing in 1 Thessalonians 2. There's a crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4. There's a crown of glory in 1 Peter 5. And there's a crown of life in Revelation 2. Turn with me to Matthew 19. So there are crowns that we can present to God in heaven that we have, I'm going to use the word earned, crowns that we've earned on earth that were presented to us in heaven that we can present as treasures before the throne of God according to the book of Revelation. So, Matthew chapter 19, there's a story, significant story, about a rich young man. Look at verse 19. Jesus said unto him, he's taunting the Lord. He's trying to set the Lord up. And he basically says, I've been blameless since I was a child. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure where? In heaven. Sell what you have and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Oh, by the way, colon, and come and follow me. So the treasure that he might receive in heaven for good works is not necessarily unconditional, because the Lord says, one more condition. You need to come and follow me. There are people that are blessed with resources. And there are people that don't have those kind of resources. And the people that have those resources have many, many passages of Scripture that remind them, that warn them, that if they are not careful with those resources can consume them. Matthew chapter 10, you're not very far away. Matthew 10, verse 40 begins, he that receiveth you, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive what? A prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's what? Reward. So here are, again, two treasures in heaven. A prophet's reward, a righteous man's reward. Verse 42, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So you don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to necessarily be a righteous man. Could you at least give a cup of cold water to somebody who needs it? That's interesting, isn't it? We'll obviously go back there this year and look at that. Turn with me to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So as we serve the Lord with the right motive and the right attitude and the right spirit, we will have a reward, a treasure in heaven, so to speak. Okay, we've looked at unfaithfulness through covetousness, basically looking at a choice between two treasures, earthly treasures, heavenly treasures. Next week, we'll look at a choice between two visions and a choice between two masters. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll make a couple applications, and we'll be done. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. That's not a suggestion. That's a commandment. Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Okay, so your treasures upon earth will become corrupted. Vehicles in Western New York steal, sitting, doing nothing, will become corrupted. Treasures upon earth that sit will be stolen. But the alternative, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, So heavenly rewards, heavenly treasures are not touched by earthly dangers, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Okay, that's great advice, Lord. Thank you. Then the Bible clearly says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, treasures are our true heart locators. So if your treasure is laid up here on earth or in earthly things, then your heart is where? Here. If your treasure is laid up in heaven or in heavenly or kingdom pursuits, where is your heart located? There. It is almost like asking someone to locate something that you have lost. They might ask you, where did you see it last? They might ask you what the item looks like and help you in the search. They might ask you to retrace your steps so you can look in places where you have already been, which are three very practical, very helpful, useful things to know if you have lost something or if something can't be found. The Bible clearly says or tells us that in order for you or in order for that matter, anyone to locate the true location of their heart, the only thing you have to do is look at where their treasure is. Where's your heart? Well, they used to say, all you have to do is look at a man's checkbook or his monthly bank statement or his investment portfolio, and you have located where that man's heart is. I will take more time during the year to talk about David Green, founder, former CEO of Hobby Lobby. But the latest book he wrote, Giving It All Away. That's the title. Giving It All Away. Is he giving away his business? No. He transferred the business to his son and to family. The business is thriving. But from a craft store inside of his garage, a picture frame family operation in his garage to a multi-billion dollar international organization, he writes a book, Giving It All Away. Do you think God can trust him with riches? I think so. At least those kind. He and his wife never thought this would happen. Whoever thought? He didn't win the lotto. Just plotted. He just plotted. And one blessing, one biblical decision after another, one financial decision after another, one business decision after another. And God is locating his heart. Where is this man's heart? Can I trust him with this test? Every financial decision we make is a spiritual decision. You knew that, right? Every financial choice we make is a spiritual choice. Treasures are our true heart locators. Let's pray. Lord, perhaps this information isn't new. Perhaps for some, this might seem like a rehash. And perhaps for some, this might be boring because they know all this already. They've done this class or they've done that study or they've done that program, and in their mind, they're set. Oh, perhaps we need a wake-up call. Perhaps we're building our silos. Perhaps we're tearing down our warehouses to build new ones. And the Lord said, O fool, thou soul shall be required of thee this night. Where will our treasures be then? Lord, we are not only setting a path for ourselves, but we are obviously modeling either biblical truth or not to our kids. And I fear, because of where we live and the time in which we live, nothing essentially is out of our reach to purchase or to buy or to own or to be exposed to. I think of those dear Africans that I met back in 1995 in the huts of Africa. And I thought for sure they were so poverty-stricken and so innocent when it came to consumerism and materialism. And then I realized that they had TVs in their huts powered by car batteries. And the vision of this innocent place was shattered, because even among people that didn't have power, didn't have running water, didn't have bathrooms or sanitation like we know it, refrigeration, found it within their means to have a TV with a battery. Hard to believe, but not hard to understand. Lord, help us. We are inundated, surrounded by messages screaming for our attention. That's what advertising is, to relieve us of our money. Guide us and direct us this year in a special way. Give us ears to hear, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.